Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
if I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, fighting AT&T. We're doing a good job. Brennan, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chief. I began to wonder, you know, you better stop thinking that Trump lost the election because they're coming after you for this conspiracy theory.
I know. They are at me. Actually, all our contributors are at me this morning. Anyway, S&P Futures up 17, NASDAQ Futures up 54% a day. Percent a day, that's what we're into. The contributors are in me because I was all over the vaccine distribution thing yesterday. So now, even get a load of this. I have Frank and Kevin uniting to give me crap.
Who would have thought that would ever happen?
Who would have thought that would ever happen? And I, when you could be the arbiter here, well, of course, they'll be after you. What I said was.
It won't be the first time that people are asking me for opinions.
Oh, no. But here's my thought is we have. Despite the fact that our losers from government, you know, it's when I say losers, I don't mean individually; I mean collectively. We're not telling people the truth, Brennan, anywhere. And I think it's reaching the point where it's causing a real problem. Was talking to some people this weekend, Audrey's friends mostly, and successful, most of them ladies, but successful people, 401ks. All of them, you know, kind of nervous about the market. But you can't really hedge stuff in a 401k, right? So there's no puts, there's no calls, there's no nothing. Everybody's just mutual funds, which is fine. I mean, I'm not criticizing that part. But if you want out, you just got to be out. You got to say, get me out of my stocks and go to cash, which doesn't pay anything. So, I mean, and I said, well, if you feel that way, then you got to call and tell them you want to go into cash. Why would I do that? I don't get it. I said, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying, you said you're nervous, you think the market is too high, it shouldn't be here, the government's pumping it up. You just gave it a long story. And I'm telling you that in your situation, the only thing you can do is to get out and go to cash, go 50%, 100%, whatever, however bad you feel. Well, I can't do that. It's going higher.
Chief, don't tell me what I said.
Yeah.
Tell me what I meant and what I should know.
Right. I don't think, because we're throwing money around like a drunken sailor, like they used to say. We're giving our people the wrong impression. Get a load of this. Where are we? We're Tuesday morning. It was Sunday night. I decided to do some research, so I dug out the book that will put you to sleep in a nanosecond, Milton Friedman's Monetary History of the United States. So I went through the World War II years. You know, I can't even. The terms they used, I'm supposed to be this, you know, monetary economist. I didn't even know half the terms they were using. It took me like an hour just to. did you know what power money was? I didn't.
No, I don't know.
I'm not so sure I could define it. But they had different terms for things. They would use gold deposits at the Fed as power money. It wasn't as simple as M1, M2. So I keep looking for M1, M2, diving around looking for it. I can't find it. But anyway. We in this year, the average increase in money supply during the whole war experience from 1939 to 1948 was like 11% a year. We've done 25 this year, so we're.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so but where I'm going with this is we obviously have a massive economic problem because of this COVID or because people's response to it or whatever. Let's say it's the COVID. Now we have. issues with people not doing something. We have problems in nursing homes. Okay, we've got people, 40% of the people who died or more have died in nursing homes. So obviously, that's a high priority vaccine place. We got people not going to school, which is absolutely burying the economy, I think, because people have to stay home. Kids think they're learning most of the time. I won't say most of the time. Sure, best schools and the best areas with the mother home or with the father home, whatever, they're probably okay. But most of the people, certainly in the inner city, are not. I mean, not at all. So what I tried to say yesterday is let's try and tie the two together. If Walgreens goes to a nursing home, I mean, if I have one more of my friends tell me their mother or father's nursing home and they can't even visit them. Somebody last week said they put somebody in there for rehab. 3 months later, they came out in hospice. Didn't look like they ever did any rehab. And nobody could visit them the whole time. Well, okay, this is a problem to me. It's a massive problem when people tell me their mother can't even go visit the lady in the room next door. So what I want to do, Brendan, and I'm getting excoriated by our people, I want to tie some of this crap together. I want to go to Kelly High School, and I want to vaccinate all the teachers. And I don't care if they're the first priority. And I'm going to come back in 10 days. I'm going to give you a second shot. And on the 11th day, this friggin' place opens. I'm going to come do this nursing home. And 10 days from now, I'm going to come do the second one. And the next day, people get to visit the person next door to them, and the family gets to show up here. There needs to be some kind of solution that is attached to the program, I think. I mean, and it's maybe this is my South Side mentality. You don't just wander into some place, vaccinate people willy-nilly, and then have a walk out, and the guy's still saying, we're not sure. Two people didn't take the vaccination. You still can't come visit your mom. I don't want that happening, Brendan. I'm just me. Now, tell me where I'm wrong.
Without your solution, it's not going to happen either. You're not going to open up the economy because of the number of people. I see two things wrong with it. First, the number of people who said that they won't take the vaccine. And the second issue is the pushback from a lot of the unions, but it's still not even solving the problem because there aren't enough people getting vaccinated overall, not just those who don't want the vaccine and refuse to take the vaccine, but because of the limited supply.
I'm totally wrong. Brennan, if I show up at Kelly High School and five teachers don't want it, I don't care. The stool's still opening. You better show up or you're not getting paid. That's your decision. I'm never going to force anybody to come to work. I'm just saying, here's the vaccine that's available, and oh, by the way, on this date, the place is opening. You make the call. I'm not asking you to rip down your sleeve. I'm not forcing you to do it. I'm not going to tackle you. But I'm saying,
but under your scenario, if you go to Kelly High School and you vaccinate all the teachers there, that means the doctors and nurses who are working in the hospital don't get vaccinated because there's a limited supply of vaccines.
There's going to be, after another couple of months, there's going to be a lot of vaccine. There'll be a lot of vaccine we're not even using.
I'm understanding your point that you're going to go to Kelly High School in your example now and vaccinate the teachers. And right now, the distribution is not out for the general public yet.
Okay, well,
I think that's an issue.
Okay, go back to square one. Let's go back to the nursing home. We're still going to let people not have visitors the day after we vaccinate everybody?
I think the scenario changes after they've got your second vaccination shot.
I think we need to force it. Because I think nursing homes are very happy not having anybody show up. Because the people who show up and visit their loved ones, they're the inspectors of the place. And the nursing homes don't want them. There's all kinds of stuff going on here, Brendan, that I just don't like. You know, I mean, just saying. And how do we? So am I totally off base here? I mean, I'm not. I mean, I might be in my dates and so forth, but I think you need to gear the thing towards. I mean, if PTI had 50 people working from home, and maybe I don't think they were doing such a good job, I'm going to say, okay, someday February 10th is our date. We're going to have vaccinations here at PTI. And by the way, on February 20th, you're coming to friggin' work. If you're home after that, I'm going to hire somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somewhere it's got to be tied together, right?
Right. And I think that may be a viable approach in another 6 months or 8 months when there's enough vaccines and people have gotten vaccinated and you've got to a certain point in the economy. But that's not where we are right
now.
There hasn't been enough distribution yet.
Okay, but right now we need to set the tone. And the tone right now is in nursing homes. Don't tell me I can't visit after we paid for all the vaccinations in the place.
Well, my reply to that is that I think that there are more important people to get vaccinated right now than young, healthy teachers. I think there are more people who should get involved, who should get vaccinated before Marco Rubio and ALC.
Okay, but the fact is, nursing home people are number one on the list. So
two, I think they're after first responders, doctors and nurses, and even the janitors in the hospitals. And I agree that people, all the support staff in the hospitals, frontline workers, they really are the frontline workers. And then I think they're going to the nursing homes next.
Brendan, I caught
that integrated system after that.
I caught COVID at the hospital. So did Kenny Polgieri. Now, in the hospitals, I'm going to say that 40 to 50% of the people there already had it, and they have the ability to do antibody checks, and anybody who has the antibodies has to wait for theirs. Why do I give somebody a shot that already has the antibodies? Why would you give me a shot? I'm good for a year or whatever, 18 months or whatever the number is. But I don't need one today.
Well, I don't know. I don't know factually whether that's true that all those people in the hospital who are doctors and nurses have had COVID.
I didn't say. What I said is, if there's 2,000 people there that you have to, and you have 1,000 vaccines, give everybody the antibody test, and if I'm right and half of them have the antibodies, give the shots to the people who don't have them. This is not brain surgery.
That's fair. I agree with you. That's fair. That's fair that if they recently had COVID, that they should have immunities to have the antibodies, and then it makes much more sense to give the vaccine to somebody who does not yet have the antibodies, even if they're asymptomatic.
Yeah, I don't. And so I'm saying I'm not catching the logic here. Just like I haven't caught the logic since February in this whole thing. You know, I mean, I have not caught the logic that some people get to tell other people what to do and stay at home and get paid, and other people do their bidding and we ignore them. I mean, that to me has been. But you know, but let's look at the money situation. Now we have all kinds of people now are dying to get this $2,000. Now, again, we had a little of this. One of our listeners, you didn't hear this, Manny, said that you could send people if you got rid of the special interest groups in the bill. You could send everybody an $18,000 check instead of $600, and it would come out to the same amount of money.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know the particulars of the bill on that level. I do know that there are a lot of spending provisions in there, but I don't know what they're talking about in the way of the special interest.
Well, they're giving the airlines $15 billion. That's a number.
Okay, but, I mean, who are the special interests that are getting that? I'm not denying that there are a lot of special interests that are getting money.
There was a huge... I saw the whole... Well, not the whole list. I saw some of the list. There's a lot of sports venues. There's places at the theaters, those kinds of things. And I'm not saying they haven't had special, but I mean, actually, I want to ask you a question on that. How do you, out of the 5,545 pages in the bill or something like that, how much of that, Brendan, is because you know more about Washington than I do. I don't know anything. So you're. If you know next to nothing, you know more than me. How many pages of that, I'm going to guess 2,000, we're just waiting around for any bill to come by that have nothing to do with this bill?
I can't tell you that it's 2,000, but there are a number of provisions that are standard, that are part of a template. All the legislation starts with a template. All the major legislation starts with a template. And of course, in this bill, they have the template from earlier in the year. And like the defense bill has a template that they update from what they had last year. So yes, they do start with the template that has a lot of provisions in there.
Because I mean,
and oddly, that's where a lot of misinterpretation comes in because when you revise it, you don't always catch all the cross references or the meanings of things that have been there for 5, 10 years. In the form of the document and the template. And then when somebody reads it carefully or when something in the bill is challenged and you go through it, you go, well, this doesn't make sense. And that's where you get into a problem with a strict interpretation of the court by saying, well, anything that's in the bill was meant to be said by the legislature. So if this says A equals B, then A has to equal B, even though it's clear that A doesn't equal B, it equals A. But that's how problems fester in legislation.
Well, I mean, because this one, you know, I think also what we're not telling people is this is made up money. This is going on your bill. Because
mm-hmm.
sure. the interesting part in World War II, as I went through there, by the way, in order, there was more percentage money put into the system in World War I than World War II, and the worst of all was the Civil War when they put the greenbacks into play.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, the reason why in World War II is a lot of the money was just borrowed from people.
Mm-hmm.
So
War bonds. There are two things with World War II. One is the borrowing through the war bond. But the second thing is that the industrialization was ramped up and modernized because of war production. And after the war, they were able to, instead of building tanks and airplanes, they were able to build cars and widgets and factories that were used to sell to the general public, both in America and around the world, to rebuild parts of Europe and Japan. So the money that was spent was repurposed in a way to manufacture goods that were sold.
Well, but it was also it was like you lending money to your wife. When everything's got back together again, she gave you the money back. But from the outside looking in, the Brendan household was always flat, was always fine, right? But now mm-hmm. it's not. It's made up money. It's totally made up money.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not telling people that the deficit now is sitting the deficit's in two places. But the 22 trillion that they'll tell you about from the Treasury is not all, a lot of that money is sitting over in the Federal Reserve on their balance sheet, which is made up dough. So it's not like when the taxes get better, they're just going to be able to pay people off. I mean, it's an odd sort of thing, and I don't think anybody really understands it. I'm not sure I totally do. But I think the general public absolutely. But I have a couple of sports questions for you, gentlemen.
Yeah. Were you going to talk about Yu Darvish?
Yes, and I got two others there that I had. Five pitchers pitched to Roger Maris and Mark McGwire. Who were they? And secondly, Jack Rosenberg died. Talk about the
yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah, he worked for got his job at WGN in 1954. Died at 94. Virtually every thing you see that's an advancement on national TV, pretty much Jack Rosenberg did, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't he do an instant replay and all that stuff?
Yeah, and he had multiple cameras from different angles in different spots for the first time. So just a single camera.
Yeah, it was in because it wasn't just a panorama. It was they would shift the guys who were when you get somebody hits a line drive to third base and the camera switches to you see the guy hit it and you see the guy catching it. It's somebody in the truck with amazing reflexes. As reflexes are as quick as the third baseman's, although there's not a ball coming
out. Or better.
Yeah. But, what's with the Cubs have totally, they've totally tanked now, or what?
I'd have to say after this trade that they're totally in rebuild mode.
Now, how do you do that?
They're going back to the early years of Theo Epstein when they were a 100 loss a year team.
Well, how do you do that when you're, when the stars that you have are all still in their 20s?
Well, yeah, I mean, think about what the White Sox did in, what was it, 93, 94, when they had the white flag trade, when they're in the middle of the season and they traded all the players away. Management makes a decision that we're not going to win this year, so therefore I'm not going to pay exorbitant amounts of money. And in the Cubs' case, they're 4 years away from winning the World Series that they haven't done in 108 years, so I think that Jed Hoyer is going to make his mark or try to make his mark as a new Theo by taking a team from the ashes and giving them a World Series team.
Yeah, but isn't the object to be competitive every year and win it once in a while?
I mean, that's a different theory.
So they did the last 6 years.
When you have them run a pennant for 108 years like the Cubs did, you hope that they wouldn't try to do it for another 108 years again, that they try to do it sooner than that.
I think when the people are that age, it's not like you brought in a whole bunch of veterans and you won it and they all were 90 years old the next year.
That's right. No, I agree with you. But when I heard that news about Darvish being traded, I thought they've given up. They've given up for 21 and 22. Now, the only thing I can think of is that they feel that baseball is not going to come back very strong in 21, 22, or 23. and are trying to reduce their overhead, their team costs by the moves they just made, like Schwarber not getting a contract, and now Darvish. Even if they bring back Lester, he is one of those guys who's about 90 years old, who's left pitch to cause his arm to fall off because of how old he is. I mean, he's really lost a lot in the last couple of years. But he may now be the second guy on the rotation after Hendricks if they sign him back.
Well, from what I understand of the numbers, I mean, the Sox, I'm going to say, paid no rent last year because they didn't draw a million mm-hmm. people. Now, the Cubs,
I agree,
because they have spent this massive amount of cash essentially taking over a neighborhood, which if I was mayor, I never would have let happen, but that's another story. They essentially took over a neighborhood, and I have read and I've heard that they get a higher percentage of their revenue from the park and surrounding spots than any other team in baseball. I don't know if that's true.
I wouldn't be surprised at that, because the only other team that I can think of that's in a neighborhood setting like that would be Boston, where they also and that was another Theo thing, where they bought up some of the property around Fenway, and just like they've created Wrigleyville, they recreated Wrigleyville in the last decade.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got big buildings on spots they didn't even own, for God's sake.
Right, and they own all the rooftops, or most of the rooftops.
So I think they, if they go to another season without anybody in the stands, I think they're draining.
Mm-hmm.
At least in that segment, where White Sox could care less. I mean, the White Sox are fine with that, because they mm-hmm. only pay nothing, or darn near nothing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I mean, they have, but Jack Rosenberg, yeah. So who are your five picks for the pitchers?
Well, one of them I think might have been Phil Nico, who just passed away.
I was going to say you're a clever fellow.
Baseball.
You're a clever fellow, because you're going to know why I brought this up in the first place. One of it was Phil Nico dying.
Before you have to set the stage that Roger Maris's last year was 1968, yeah. and mm-hmm. Mark McGwire's first year, his rookie year, was 1986.
Yeah.
So you got it's somebody that's pitched at least 18 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
So you got to think of pitchers that have pitched at minimum 18 years in the big leagues to have faced both of those guys.
From, say, the mid-60s to the mid-80s.
Right.
Which is a long way.
Other than Phil Niekro, I figured that the one common element was Phil Niekro because of his passing over the weekend. But I cannot think of the other four.
When I name him, you'll be kicking yourself. All right, who started out on the? I was kind of surprised. Did Roger Maris was 68 his last year, Manny?
Yeah, I think I just looked it up. Let me double check to be 100% sure.
Because I thought
he was in the mid-60s. I was thinking like 66 or 67, but it could have been 68.
I thought
Roger Maris went from 57 to 68.
He was a hell of a player. He was the MVP 2 years in a row. It wasn't like he was just a flash in the pan.
Yeah, he won MVP 60 and 61, and then he also had a really good season in 64. And then he started to trail off.
He had the Cardinals on. That was when he was on the Cardinals.
His last two seasons were in St. Louis on the Cardinals, yeah, and he wasn't very good.
Well, the only pitcher here that I would not have picked, I thought Nolan Ryan's rookie year was 69, but it must have been 68, because he's on his list.
Nolan Ryan, yeah, that's a good one.
The one you probably won't ever get is Phil's younger brother, Joe, broke in with the Cubs.
Yeah, I thought about Joe.
Because he came in as a fastballer, and then he came back resurrected like 10 years later as a knuckleballer and had like another 10-year career, didn't he?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The other two, you probably, one of them has a surgery named after him.
Tommy John.
And the other one, this guy played forever, but I never saw him pitch. Don Sutton, Dodgers. Is he the Dodgers his whole career?
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
Anyway, Brendan, thank you very much, bud. Happy New Year. If I don't talk to you before then, but I probably will.
Happy New Year to you too, Manny and Tom.
S&P futures up 17.75, NASDAQ futures up 57. Back, Mr. Joel on Cannon.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. I'm seeing, Maddie, a picture of an American Airlines 737 MAX. Returning to the sky, are you in one or not? Are you going to weasel out to another plane?
I'm not in one yet. I'd like to see, 60 to 90 days of success before I hop on that one.
I don't think the wife wants you anywhere near one of these things.
Oh, that's for sure.
She's going to attach to you, I think. I don't know. The dog definitely doesn't want you in there. What would he do without you? SP Futures up 17.
He'd be fine in a couple days.
I don't know. NASDAQ Futures up 57. Dow Futures up 137. I think they care about people more than we give them credit for, but that's just the way that is. We've got over in Europe, we've got nothing but rallies here. The DAX only up 37. It was up a bunch yesterday. It's 0.3%. FTSE up 137. That's 2%. Because they were barely up yesterday, so they're catching up. CAC ran up 23.4%. This is like a party. This is like 2000, for God's sake. Nikkei up 714. That's 2.6%. Shanghai down 18.5%. Hang Seng up 253.1%. So the Shanghai and the Hang Seng have gone opposite directions, I don't know, I'm going to say half of the last 100 days, which is really strange. Yesterday, record day, Dow up 204, NASDAQ up 94, S&P Futures up 32. We've got bonds, 0.94, the Bund still minus 0.57, Japan positive 0.02. Very strange. As we're doing this COVID relief thing in the Senate, House passed the $2,000 versus the $600. If anybody hasn't heard that yet. And we got oil up 54 cents, 48.16. That's 1.1%. Brent up 50 cents, 51.37. This stuff is going up like a percent a day. Our CPI is still flat. I mean, come on. Give me a break. NASDAQ futures up a penny. Natural gas futures up a penny. 232, Manny. They were $3, 8 weeks ago? What a short. RBOB 137 up a penny. And we've got gold up 70 cents, 1881. Silver down 25 cents, 2628. Silver had a huge move up yesterday. Gold kind of fell apart during the day. The copper down a penny at 356. A lot of stuff here. What do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a pretty good start overall, although there is an accident on the Dan Ryan. It's on the local lanes on the outbound side just before 47th Street, and that's causing a bit of a delay. Apparently, a car hit the wall. So downtown and 95th Street is up to 15 minutes on the outbound Ryan local lanes, but nothing major there. Inbound side looks okay. I-57 and the Bishop Ford are all quiet. Same for the Stevenson. Eisenhower and the North Side Expressways are quiet, too. Also, Lakeshore Drive is looking good in both directions. So this morning, we're off to a great start here in Chicago traffic, but tomorrow that could change as we have a winter weather advisory coming into effect at 3 p.m. this afternoon and lasting until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, where we're expecting a wintry mix of freezing rain and snow, and then when it turns to snow, it could be an accumulation of up to 5 inches. In certain areas, and that could certainly affect traffic tomorrow morning. But that won't start till later on this afternoon. We'll reach a high of 34 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 21 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 59. Right now it's mostly clear and 41. In sports, the Cubs made big Major League Baseball news, trading stud pitcher Yu Darvish along with backup catcher Victor Caratini for very good starting pitcher from the Padres, Zach Davies, and then four minor league prospects who are all very young A-ball level prospects that are position players. So that was a big move by the Cubs. Bulls were off last night. They'll return to action looking for their first win against the winless Wizards tonight at 6 p.m. Chicago time. College hoops, Loyola blew out Illinois State 86-55. And in Monday Night Football, the Patriots' collapse continues. They were blown out by the Buffalo Bills 38-9. Chief.
I'm going to ask one simple question here because we have to go to Joel. How the hell do you know how good anybody was in A-ball when there was no A-ball last year and there might not be any this year?
Well, you
asking me, Chief?
Well, I could ask you. I'm asking the Bodie guys. The Bodie is, as they say in the South Side.
You wouldn't know how good they were in A-ball if there was no A-ball, but you'd still know how well you rated them when you were going to draft them.
Yeah, just the whole idea of the minor league development at this point seems to be put on hold.
Everything's on hold.
Well, that's majors right. Played.
Yeah, they did. And everyone else trained.
Yeah, something. Well, I mean, if you weren't at the South Bend facility, where the other 15 of the 40 were, well, the other people, what'd they do? They didn't do anything, right? There was no training facility.
They probably had to do stuff on their own, yeah.
That's bizarre. Joel, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well, Chief. How are you doing on this Tuesday? How's Chicago? How's
the same.
Lincoln back to normal there? How's the Miracle? Is the Miracle Mile back to Magnificent Mile back to normal?
It hasn't improved at all. Every day you'll read a story about some iconic bar or restaurant closing. It's as bad as it gets.
Not the seating room, though.
Not yet, no.
Not yet. They did well with people sitting outside when it was warmer. They're got to be struggling now, though.
Yeah, all these people with the outdoor stuff, nobody wants to sit. Unless you're... I went to a place a week ago Saturday out in the burbs where they essentially put a... they carpeted half the parking lot. They got this 25 tables they have in this tent. But they've got propane tanks and essentially heating and fans and... I bet they could probably hang in there till it's 35 degrees. I don't know if they're there if it's 10 below, but they've got everything, and I don't know what it cost them. But you're not gonna do that in a city.
Yeah, still playing it close to the belt here. Since March 3rd, I've been out for dinner one time, or out for any meal one time, and that's when we were up north in Harbor Springs, Petoskey, and we sat outside. But besides that, have done some carry out, but still playing it close to the belt. The wife did get the first round of the vaccine, and being a frontline worker, I still haven't got my date yet. But doesn't really seem to bother the market. I mean, once we got that vaccine, it's been off to the races, and now you got a stimulus, so. Looks to be ending the year on all-time highs.
I don't think the I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't care if an asteroid's coming at the place. If at $1 trillion a week, the market's going up, and it's hard for me to trade that way because the stuff is so expensive at every one of these levels. We're talking, I mean, if we're not up a percent or two a day, people are pissed. I mean, if you're managing money for people, I mean, it's like, what do you mean? It's how easy is this? I heard about this stock yesterday. How come we're not in it? Because they just became a stock 3 weeks ago. I mean, it is worse than 2000, Joel. And I know that when it turns, that people end up a lot more damaged than they are, and nobody will get out. Nobody will get out. I mentioned earlier, I talked to people.
What do you mean? Everyone on Twitter gets out.
Yeah, bull. there hasn't been one. Anybody you know, if you call your 100 closest friends that have a 401k, you will find that the chances of them rolling over on a Tuesday morning like today and say, all three indices are record high, starting a new year, I'm taking 50% of my money and putting in cash. There isn't anybody doing that, Joel. No one. Because they used to call it on the trading floor, everybody, if we go down, everybody's going to be part of the U-turn, as they say.
Yeah.
You're right. The group in Ohio that rode Cisco, they were the highest grossing percentage-wise in the late 90s. They were the best money management firm anywhere. They rode Cisco from like $4, if they were part of the IPO or what they were, up to 65 and all the way back down to 6, never bought a put, sold a call, or sold a share. They were believers, you know.
But if they put all their money in Bitcoin at 6,000, then they're doing okay.
But they're not going to sell it.
No, I mean you can talk about hedging, you can talk about put strategies, you can talk about overall the statistics. Bore out that the market just goes up, and that those strategies. I mean, if we survive that pandemic like this, I mean, you got to think that there's, the stimulus, the Fed, a lot of things out there that are supporting the market. And you see that on an everyday basis. Majority of the moves taking place overnight, as you can see, when a little bit less liquidity. But, your FANG stocks are coming back. The small caps, and I'm not as big a believer. I was like, oh, the small caps, I look at the big boys, I look at the top components in the S&P, and they got to be green, and that's what you're seeing. Tesla sneaking in there a week and a half ago, created a little bit of fireworks, but tech-driven economy, and looks like it's going to continue to do that 2021.
Joel, how off base am I? We have a minute here. If I'm going to say that, if I'm going to say the market isn't up at all because we have 25% more money we put in the system, we've just degraded the currency by 25% and the market's flat.
You're not going to get me to argue with that, Chief.
How many people are even thinking that way?
I mean, I saw a statistic that since 1991, the dollar has lost half of its purchasing power. So a lot of different ways you could slice up the market. But, if you look at it overall, the returns are there. Eventually, we're going to see. I agree with you about the inflation thing. It's eventually going to show up. Housing prices, food prices, a lot of those things. But when you don't put them in the index, it's hard to grade them as inflation when you exclude oil.
Did you ever think that we could bamboozle the population as much as we've done in the last few years? When I say we, whoever the we's are, they're not you and me.
There's a lot of things, Chief, that I wouldn't believe that have happened over the last 3 or 4 years. Why don't we leave it at that?
we need longer time to cover that, huh?
yeah. Just real quick, Michigan Hoops moving up to number 16 in the country. That's without their starting center. Looking to improve. Howard's really rotating 7-8 deep. So excited. Harbaugh, in my opinion, 100% coming back. They got J.J. McCarthy. He may start as a freshman. I also saw one of our defensive players is coming back, Aiden Hutchinson, who might have been a second or third round choice. So I think they're working out some contract details, but looks like they're going to give Harbaugh another go around. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
All right, quick question. Who's the best b-ball team in the Big Ten? Is it Iowa?
What about Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick.
There's a lot of good teams.
You know, I saw those Big Ten standings at the beginning of the year, and they had like Michigan fifth, and I'm like, holy moly. They had Iowa, Wisconsin up there, Minnesota. They beat Michigan State by 25 points last night.
Well,
I don't know, but I sure hope we get to play a full season, and you know, we get to play out because there's a lot of exciting teams in there. I mean, I think you might see 5, 6, 7 teams in your Northwestern. How about those Wildcats?
Yeah, they're not bad either.
They're clawing back, but anyways, last show of the year. For you guys, great year with you, Chief. Looking
yeah, it was
forward
fun.
To talking to you next Tuesday. Go Blue.
All right, Happy New Year, buddy. We going to break? We going right to Kenny.
Going to break?
SPV is up 16, as if he's up 56. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcherry.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 16. NASDAQ Futures up 56. Got to be up. We have Mr. Kenny Pulcherry with us. Kenny, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was thinking of you as I was seeing this headline this morning. Back on the trading floor, there was a guy who was always Mr. Fashion, right? And he always wore Johnny Versace jeans. And one day, the day he was brutally murdered, somebody, of course, said, he's got to be happy the value of his wardrobe just tripled. And I'm thinking you probably have, what, 30 Pierre Cardin suits, and he just died
today. Yeah, I know. I just saw that headline, 98 years old.
Yeah, I'm so, so all of a sudden the value of your suit portfolio just went up.
Oh, my God, my Pierre Cardin suits. You know how long I haven't had them? So whoever has them now, the value of their portfolio has just gone up.
Well, how are you, Kenny? Happy New Year, buddy.
Oh, God, and to you, too. How's everything?
It's all right. You know, Chicago is still, you know, we're still limping here. And I was, earlier I was talking about we've got to use these vaccines in a way to get stuff open. You know, not just, you know, toss them out there. And I'm getting some pushback on that. But anyway, I think you need to do them If you do schools, you do it because the school's going to open in 10 days, not just because you wander through and give people vaccinations, and 2 days later they say they're still afraid. I mean, same thing in nursing homes.
Yeah.
And we're going to give them a nursing home. You know, I mean, people have to be able to visit.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I mean, the vaccine is here. It's got great efficacy. They're pushing it all over. You see all these elected officials standing up and hospital workers standing up, and everyone's getting it and speaking to its efficacy. And so at some point, you got to jump in, right? You're going to do it or you're not, and then we're going to move on.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, did you read all the stuff yesterday about if you have allergies, make sure you don't leave the place for like a half hour.
Right. Yeah, right. And listen, that's fair. That's like that doctor in, I think it was in Boston, right? He had a reaction almost immediately after he got it. But he was in the hospital, and they gave him the EpiPen, or he gave himself an EpiPen, and he was fine. But listen, I think those are normal precautions. I don't think it should halt anyone from saying, no, I'm afraid I'm not getting it. Right? I think as long as you do it in a hospital setting, then you should be fine.
Well, he brought his own EpiPen, so he had what?
Right, because he knew his own history, right? So he brought it.
Yep. I've got a couple of buddies of mine that have to bring one of those all over in the summertime. They ever get hit by a bee, they're in trouble. You know.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that have, you know, whether they're peanut allergies or something else, but yeah, they carry them. It's like, you know, you carry a cell phone. They carry an EpiPen. It's just what they have to do.
You can't talk through the EpiPen, though. Just saying.
So, you can't.
All right, Kenny, simple question, one-word answer. Which actually has more intrinsic value, Bitcoin or tulips?
Oh, wow. Wow. What a great question that is. What a great question that is. You got to believe right now it's Bitcoin. I mean, look what they've done to it, right? Where's it trading today? At 29,000?
Something like that, yeah. You know, when we were in the OEX pit in 1999, and they'd have some dot bomb company come up, and they'd show up a picture of the you know, their building, and there's a sign out there. Somebody always go, "That's a rented sign." Those guys don't own a building. Have you ever seen anything in your lifetime where the price keeps going up and up, and the thing is worth nothing?
No, I haven't seen it, but you know, if you've noticed what they've done, and maybe this is, you know, maybe this is all going to go crashing down, but they've got everybody and their brother, right? All these billionaires that have now gone all in, and they're all screaming about it, and they're all trying to outbid each other, and they're all telling the world and everybody else how, you know, how unbelievable and how this is the future. And listen, it might be the future, but this move, as you've just pointed out, is more than a little bit dramatic. But, you know, you got Novogratz coming out saying it's going to be a $500,000 asset by this time next year, and you've got, you know, all the other ones that are coming out putting price tags on it. I'm not really sure how they come up with the price tags, but they just do. And because they're very wealthy and they're billionaires and they're all over the place and they've got investments everywhere and quote unquote they're so successful, is that it feeds on itself, right? It's this mania that feeds on itself. But you're right. What a great question that was. Tulips or Bitcoin? Because this could clearly end the way tulips ended, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I sit there and ask myself. I mean, I try and I was actually reading the Monetary History of the United States the other night, Kenny. How boring is that? And I read a bunch of terms I didn't even recognize. You know what the term power money means? I didn't.
No, I have no idea what power money
means. Well, back in those days, they used to call it wasn't as simple as M1 and M2. So they would have all this different, they go through the Fed balance sheet, and the Fed would actually have gold certificates, and the Federal Reserve notes are what? They're a liability, but the gold assets are an asset. I mean, I'm sitting there going through this balance sheet going, wow, I never saw this before. But anyway, crazy stuff. But I don't see anything. I mean, let's put it this way. I believe, and I think you might agree with me, but I'm going to put words in your mouth, that if the governments continue doing what they're doing with the, I'll use the term fiat currencies, that a couple of clever guys like maybe you and me, we could conceivably come up with an alternative currency that's based on, you know, shares of oil in the tankers and, you know, in Saudi Arabia or Venezuela or something. But if it's based on something, or it could be, you know, it could be gold or silver certificates from a place where they actually have gold or silver or something. I'm not saying it has to be gold. It could be anything. It could be oil. There needs to be something finite at the end of the day that I get my barrel of oil with my one oil dollar, whatever the hell you want to call it. the idea that there's nothing behind it other than people buy it and it's everybody else to go buy it at a higher price. I mean, talk about the greater fool theory. But at the end of the day, first of all, why would anybody use it as an alternative currency when the price keeps going all over the place? What's the point of that? And secondly,
that's the part I don't really understand, right? But then you got guys like, you know, Lonnie Musk that now wants to convert his whole balance sheet to Bitcoins, and they want to be able to start doing everything in Bitcoin. That only adds fuel to that fire when you see big, you know, big names like that all of a sudden supporting it and then going out and trying to build their business around it. And so it adds credibility. Now, whether or not that adds value to it or further defines it, I don't know, because I'm still learning about it. I'm a little bit lost like you on what makes it worth what it's worth.
I think nothing, but let me ask you this. I mean, you've been in the industry forever, and I'm supposed to know this crap, but I don't. If I get on the air and I go out and I buy a whole bunch of, I won't even use a stock, I'll use ZZZ stock, and I buy it and I come on and get on CNBC. Of course, people do this all day long, and they tell everybody how much it's worth. And then I turn, and as soon as it goes up, I like dump it. I mean, I'm a registered guy. I can't do that. But if it's Bitcoin, can anybody become a salesman for the thing just because you own it?
Apparently, that's what it feels like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, it's really unregulated, right? I mean, and that's part of the problem. But that's what it feels like when you go on TV and you see all these guys that are suddenly, you know, singing its praises and telling you how much money they've got invested in it, and they've thrown their whole life savings into it. You know, they were worth $1 million 6 months ago, and now they're worth $20 billion because Bitcoin's gone up, and it's only going to go up more. And so it feeds on this frenzy, right?
Well, it's like turtle eggs in Zimbabwe. They're going up. People buy them. They don't even know what turtle eggs are good for.
Right.
Well, hey, I got a question for you. I've run into a few people that said they bought, you know, 50, but you know, actually you and I could get in the, we can buy a Bitcoin vending machine. They're not that expensive, like 10 grand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's real nice, because if Bitcoin falls apart, when I looked at this years ago, it actually, you could turn it into a cash machine. Because it's a pretty high-end machine anyway. But I know how all kinds of people that say they bought, you know, 50 bucks worth of Bitcoin, you know, now like 7-8 years ago. And they said, well, I forgot my password. What happens to all the stuff that people just lost? They don't have their password.
I hear you. I'm not really sure how that works. Maybe there's a you forgot your password link, right?
I don't know. Everybody seems to tell me. Everybody seems to think it's just gone. I was only 50 bucks. It's gone. I forgot my password. I mean, it's strange. Sorry, Kenny, we'll probably get our predictions for the year next week, but what do you make of this? Well, first of all, without leading the witness, were you as appalled Sunday night as I was when the S&P's opened down 13 points and 10 minutes later they flip up 15 and I'm going, what the hell just happened? And then all of a sudden, a half hour later, did the president actually wait to make the announcement till 5 minutes in for the market open?
Well, that's what it feels like, right? That's always the argument about who knows what when. And, then he makes this announcement, you know, in the market. And actually, I got to tell you, I'm still surprised at the market's reaction yesterday and again today. Look, it's up another 150 points on the Dow or 17 points on the S&P this morning. On what? Because I got to tell you, I don't think the market is pricing in this Georgia thing at all. I think right now it's just focused on the stimulus. And I think the Georgia election runoff is going to be a surprise to everyone, because my sense is, even though I hear people in the media go, no, 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 the Democrats are going to lose, I got to tell you something. I think there could be a surprise, and I don't think the market is prepared for it at all.
Well, I don't see how that the lady beats the guy. He was 15 points ahead of her in the first election.
Loeffler.
Yeah.
Kelly Loeffler, you mean?
Yeah, I don't see how she wins. The other guy, boy, talk about the screw-up. The one guy got, what, 49.7%, and the other guy got, like, 48.5%. And the guy who screwed up got, like, what, 1.5%?
Yeah. Yeah,
but those two guys, that could go either way. I mean, right?
You know who Kelly Loeffler is, right?
Yeah, she's the wife of
of Jeff Sprecher, the guy that owns ICE, right? Intercontinental Exchange, which is the New York Stock Exchange, along with every other automated technology platform out there. And by the way, they're building a Bitcoin platform as well.
Well, and she also was the one who sold all the stock coming out of the meeting about COVID. Right.
Yes, correct. Of which she said that was pre-planned. She had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
That her money manager, you know, managers or her advisors. It was already a pre-planned execution. It was just interesting how it happened to fall on that day.
Kenny, if you believe that, I got a bridge for you, bud. Well, Kenny, let's talk next week.
I'm just telling you what they're telling us.
Right? I know.
I'm supposed to believe.
I heard the story too. Don't pee on my shoes and tell me it's raining. Is that the? Anyway, we'll talk to you. Have a happy New Year, and we'll get some predictions next week, and we'll forget all about them next year if they're no good. But if they're good, we'll remember them.
You as well. By the way, next Tuesday is actually the election, so it's going to be an interesting day to see what happens.
Yeah. Well, we'll have stuff to talk about. Take care of yourself. SP Futures right. Up 15. NASDAQ is up 52. Come back, Mr. Jeff Joseph.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley's Mr. Mel Weber on the board. SP Futures up 16. As that Futures up 53. To the moon, Alice, is there, this tree is going to grow to the sky. We don't need a shuttle. We can just climb a tree and get in orbit right now. It's the way we are. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
Not climbing any trees. Good morning, Chief.
No, we're too old for that. They don't even have monkey bars anymore, do they? That was never
talking about monkey bars last night. I know of a local school in Evanston that was one of the last holdouts of monkey bars, and they discontinued them because kids fell off and they had to pay a $600,000 settlement to the kid's family, and that's my fresh monkey bar story from last evening.
Why?
That's insane.
Yeah.
Kid was hurt pretty bad, got hit by several of the rows on the way down, and when you think about it, that's not something you really want to fall off of. That's
no,
for sure.
No.
But, yeah.
I
liked them. Never fell off, you know.
Well, I don't know. I don't see how that becomes the fault of the place, but then again, that would be me. There was always somebody at fault now if you're an attorney, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to be at fault when Bitcoin collapses?
Yeah, don't hold your breath on that one.
Well, when it does, though, it'll be a clunk. I just asked Kenny, which has more intuitive value, Bitcoin or tulips?
Well, Bitcoin. I would have to say.
What would you, you know more about it than I do. I mean, you guys had a magazine article on it. What is the intrinsic value of Bitcoin? I'm going to say nothing.
Nothing, but, you know, you can say the same about our currency as well. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
not really.
I mean, you truly can by that standard if you're going to apply it. But it does have value now because Bitcoin is, it's become a bona fide alternative currency. I know that's, it's an alternative value to something that doesn't have value. It's a decentralized currency, as you know. It has value to anybody who's surreptitiously using currency for nefarious purposes. So that's a good thing for those of you out there. And as a speculative platform alone, it has true value. And as it begins being tendered and accepted more in retail situations, which it is, I not too long ago sat through a international conference call with retail executives, all of which you'll see Bitcoin adoption for retail point of sales and platforms accepting it this year. This will be the year proliferation of that, of alternative currency adoption for retail vendors as, you know, another form of payment. So as that increases, you know, I think you'll begin to see a blur between the currencies in terms of their respective values. And if it has a commercial trade function, you know, that starts changing things. This year, many brokerage firms, will announce that they'll accept Bitcoin and that you can make trades, not just trading Bitcoin, but you can deposit Bitcoin into your account and trade Bitcoin. And that will also change things materially.
Same thing happened with tulips.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you could fund an investment account with a tulip, but no, I think we're beyond the tulip stage here. I truly do.
I think you know because we've talked about it before. I do believe that what the governments of the world are doing, that you're going to have an alternative currency. But maybe my schooling is such that I'm lacked in my brain here. But I don't see how you have something with zero value. Now, I mean, obviously, when something grows to a point, I mean, it could be turtle eggs, like I said, and you know, if it just gets hot to where people use it instead of dollars. But let me ask you this: if it's an alternative currency,
it's really questionable what the value is of traditional forms of currency, particularly after one reading of the deficit myth. I don't even know how you can refer to our currency as having a value anymore. You know, it's not like we're on the gold standard or anything.
It is,
and you just have governments printing money at will.
I'm saying I don't like what the governments are doing, but to say that whatever something is, if it catches fire, all of a sudden is better or alternative. First of all, why would you want your currency moving 10% a day?
Well, that's a good point.
I mean,
but of course that is an obstacle to greater adoption. For example, those who own Bitcoin are not likely to buy it with their pizzas, you know, or buy their pizzas with it. For that very reason, in fact, you know, there's the famous story of a couple things: a Bitcoin entrepreneur who was mining his own Bitcoin, who bought a pizza with it as a joke, and the pizza's worth, you know, $1 billion now, right? So those, you know, you're not going to have, that's an obstacle to adoption. It's own volatility right now. There's no question about that.
I mean, I would guess, again, this is me being conservative in this area. I would guess that at some point, if we keep screwing with the dollar and the euro and the other stuff, that people like Japan or are buying oil from someplace, another country, rather than basically farting around with dollars that are moving all over the place, which they're not yet, but they could, given what the Fed is doing, to say oil transactions, of which there's still all kinds of them, are going to take place in, gold certificates are going to take place in some currency out of, Qatar that's based on oil and storage tanks or something. But I think whatever it is has to be based on something, not just some rich guy getting on there and saying, hey, I bought some, go buy some. I mean, to me, that's all, you know, it started out because it was a you were buying part of the platform, whatever the Bitcoin, you know, the fact that it's all on computer and so on. You're buying the technology, but now you're not buying the tech. You're not buying the company. You're not. I mean, I just don't know what I am buying. So, I mean, I agree with you that the fiat currencies are becoming worth less and less in terms of their backing, but there's still something there versus nothing, I think, you know, but it's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't, in my answer to your initial question of the intrinsic value, I didn't speak to that, to the blockchain as a settlement platform because it's so distinct and separate from the currency. So, yeah, there are some that argue that's the intrinsic value. That's a deceptive answer because when you're buying Bitcoin or trading it, or when you buy it today at 26,000, which is, you know, obviously an insane number, it has nothing to do with investing in the technology of the settlement platform,
right,
which will invariably and inevitably replace, you know, T+3 is a settlement platform. I mean, that, you know, that's coming. The New York Stock Exchange owns a significant stakes in Bitcoin related companies. You know, trying to figure out how to get rid of the T+3 settlement issue, and eventually securities are all going to be settled on the blockchain. That will probably come within the next 2 years. So there's a value there, but that value has nothing to do with the currency's fluctuation.
Well, they could do it, sell them the next day like they do options anyway. Options have been like that for 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, a stock is just, you know, they do their thing, but I mean, there's no reason why you can't sell the next day.
Well, that's true.
I mean, like I said, options have been doing that for ages.
Yep.
And
of course, it's not just security settlement. It's banking, financing, it's logistics for any type of travel or shipping. There's the applications of the blockchain are truly endless, and it's far more efficient, and it does offer some forms of more privacy. I mean, you know, there's no question about its efficiency as a system, but the currency is baffling. There's no question about it. But you know the wall of worry. You know what it's like to pick a market top in a speculative bubble. And hey, 25,000 might be the best buying opportunity to see Bitcoin double this year. You know, I'm not taking that position, but I know many who are, and then. I think the most interesting question about Bitcoin right now is if we see Russ Ulbricht being offered a clemency by the Trump administration in the next 30 days. He's a guy that's doing a couple life sentences as being the former founder of the Silk Road, which is a dark web platform that obviously used Bitcoin for its currency for illegal drug transactions.
If you were pardoned by Trump, would you refuse it because you wouldn't want to be part of that group?
Yeah, good luck with that. You take it in a heartbeat, take it and run.
Yeah, it's if you get a pardon, do you have to admit that you were guilty?
No, you don't admit anything, and you could have been guilty. You know, that's the problem with Flynn. I mean, Flynn was on a definite track if it wasn't for the stalling of, you know, political judges. He was going to be released, but I guess essentially the charges against him were going to be dropped. I mean, there was really only one Democratic holdout judge that was not allowing that to happen, and almost most of the legal establishment came to the conclusion that he had been unfairly treated and railroaded, and that he was going to be dropped. So I'm sure Flynn wasn't nuts about receiving a pardon, because all indication was he was going to, you know, the system was going to pardon him legitimately. But at the same time, given a choice of counting on that or get out of the jail free card, I think you know what you take. And I'm sure, you know, so the big pardons to watch right now are going to be Russ Ulbricht, which is going to be a huge story if Trump pardons him. That's considered a real long shot by many. My insiders, and I do have insiders in this area, tell me it's going to happen. So that's a big story. And then, of course, Assange and and Snowden are going to be the big stories to watch as well. Those I don't have any thoughts on, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a pardon in one of those two names as well.
If you're a regular citizen, which I think we are, how pissed off should you be at all this stuff? I mean, if you and I have somebody, know somebody that has a speeding ticket, they never catch a break.
Yeah. No, you know, I don't know. I'd be pissed off. I mean, first of all, it's been abused by presidents forever. You know.
But that's not an excuse.
No. But there's good there too. Look at Alice Johnson. I mean, that woman, of course, should have been pardoned.
Well, I agree that Blago should have been commuted too. And that guy didn't deserve 14 years. No way on earth.
Of course, yeah. No question about it. So you know. You've got a tool that's going to be used for good, and sometimes it's going to be used for bad, and sometimes it's going to be used for personal purposes. There's probably no reason for Kushner to be pardoned whatsoever, none.
Well, that you know of.
But that's not surprising that he was when, you know.
Well, that you know of. I mean, I don't, you know, I have adult people that I hope I talk to, and right when the thing came out, and I said, what about all these crooks that are being pardoned? I mean, they got two guys in the House of Representatives that were pardoned from insider trading stuff. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, because Trump insider trades, it's okay. You can't tell me that somebody in an insider trade Sunday night, him signing that thing. He could have announced that at 4 o'clock, not at 10 after 5.
I can't believe that had a trading reaction anyways. I mean, how is that not baked into the market? How is that a surprise that he was going to... You know, after 4 years of watching him, you knew that was a bluff in the long run with two outstanding Georgia Senate
somebody made
in the balance. He wasn't going to veto it. What rational? So how was the market even surprised by that? That really astounded me.
At 5 o'clock when we opened, he still had not signed it. It was going to be a fight. How were they going to be override it? And it had to do with the shutting down of the government. Mm-hmm. There's no way they were going to override the thing in one day.
Right.
So they had to hustle all back to Washington. And, you know, it was a goat bleep. They had to hustle back to Washington and get a separate bill together to extend the government for another 3-4 days, or else this stuff started shutting down and that stuff started shutting down. So whatever he did, I don't really care. I mean, I guess I care, but the idea of letting everybody think that all that was going to happen until the market opened down 13 spoos, and then 10 minutes later I look at it and we're up 15, I'm going, what could possibly have happened in the 15 minutes since we opened? And sure enough, half hour later, Trump signs a thing. Well, you can't tell me, Jeff, that somebody in that group didn't trade that.
Yeah, right.
And I, you know, these guys, I don't think they think somehow or another we've brought these guys to, you know, to centurion status in Rome or something. They don't think it's even wrong for them to do this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Flynn is a total sleazebag in my mind. The guy, well, he's a general, right? And you're not supposed to get money if you're a general, something like this. Lou explained to me one day. You're not supposed to work for foreign governments as a general because you're getting some huge pension anyway, right? Yeah. Hearing enough, the guy's sitting at Putin's table giving a speech in Moscow, for God's sake. I mean, these guys pay no attention. They run around the world. They chase our money every place, get their finger in the pie or their thumb in the pie, whatever they can stick in there. And they're not good people, Jeff. I mean, I don't like seeing that go on. I'd love to see, you know, both sides of the aisle get some people together for 6 months and find out what the hell's happening. We give $600 million to Zimbabwe. Who are the five idiots that chase our $600 million down there and come up with $100 million for themselves? I have an issue with it. Instead of pardoning those guys.
Yeah, in fact, there's no greater example of it right now than the Hunter Biden story, right?
Well, yeah, I was mentioning, we were talking about the pardons, and I, you know, the first part was I've got 15 emails from people. I mean, the people he pardoned, some of them should be in the fourth ring of hell, for God's sake. And yet, I get stuff from people. What about Mark Rich? What about Mark Rich? That was another horrible thing to do. What has it got to do with this? You know, I got to believe, since you are a pretty straight dude, that you never got to tell your mom, hey, the kid down the block could stay out a half hour later than you, and your mom, oh, that's okay, then you can too. I mean, it's not about Mark Rich. It's about these people. And the more we talk about, you know, yeah, Hunter Biden's a sleazebag. Because he went there, and that's what people do when they go to Congress now. They're no longer Paul Simons, they're no longer Adlai Stevenson, they're not Edward Dirks, and somebody in their family gets their finger or some other appendage stuck in something. and they make money at it. Now we see it's going on.
That's what people do when they go now. So that raises the question for me, because I think I have this right. That being the case, why aren't you more of an advocate for term limits? Because as I recall, you are not.
Because I think there are people that are actually very good at being legislators, and I don't think you need something like that to discipline it. I mean, I don't think that if actually, you know what I don't want to see happen, and this is personal experience, Jeff, and you can critique me on this huge. When I was elected to the board of the CBOE, from the outside, we ran against the slate and won. Then, like, after 3 years, I was like, oh, you got to come back another 3 years. I found that I did. It took me a while to get your feet there, and the staff, you know, the people on the seventh floor, they were in a position to totally different. They were all lifers, and the board came and went. So all they had to do, a guy like me, and there was a few of us, they wanted to do things a little differently. They could just outweigh us. So it works the other way, too. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and I honestly believe that the accomplishments I did on the board in my 6 years, you know, 75 or 80% of them were in my second term, and 50% of those were in my last year. When you really get, you know, you get a hang of what's going on and you actually become effective. So the last thing I want is to have people having to get booted out of the House of Representatives after 6 years. Because some of the stuff, some of these bills, like
all
the
right. Well, maybe the number's 8 or 10, but you can't ignore the statistic that over 63%, according to the 63% of the time for any elected representative at the federal level is spent in fundraising. 63%.
Well, that's going to happen no matter what, because we have people that are the amount of money. I mean, again, I don't think so
they're not legislating; they're taking money to stay in office, or they're gerrymandering to stay in.
Well,
redistricting to stay in.
I don't know where
they spend more money, more time securing their position than they do legislating.
Right, but we have
people.
To if we're going to start a reform, I think we need to stay somewhat on topic. I mean, I'm all for a computer-generated district system. I'm all for that. I mean, I would start there, Jeff, so I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm saying you might have somebody, I'm going to say, I mean, maybe you don't like his politics, but I'm going to say Ted Kennedy was a very effective legislator in terms of committee chairman, all those things for a lot of years. And there are people that are just good at what they do and aren't crooks. And I don't want to see them thrown out just because the people that are crooks, people don't vote them out. You know what I'm saying? It's like hitting a fly with a sledgehammer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not like the thing. I would start with the computer districting. I would also start with a tremendous difference of how. And I don't know. You know more about this than me. I would somehow figure out, and I got to read more about it. The idea that I believe that the country sends 100 new people every year. The turnover in the House is huge.
Jeff,
it's huge.
It's true.
I think we send 50 to 100 new people to the House every year. 45 to 90 of them are spectacular people. They're going there for a purpose. They're trying to do a good job. And somehow or another, at the end of two or three terms, I'm going to say over half of them are gone because they're disgusted. They don't get a chance to do anything. And somehow or another, five people in the place have all the power. Now, I don't know why that is. I mean, I don't know enough about it. But I think that sucks, to be honest with you, for lack of a better term. And I don't know how to fix that. You could probably come up with 10 reasons that I can't. But something's wrong with the system. And it's not just somebody's there too long, because they'll find another way. Somehow the money behind the system is running the place. I mean, when you talk about raising money, this thing in Georgia, how could you run for that Senate seat without having any money? When the other guy or lady, whatever side you're on, is going to have, what, $50 million from out of state? I mean, I don't know if I want money from out of state coming in. I mean, look at some of the representative elections. I mean, when you start talking about it, yes, I think there's a lot of stuff wrong like you. But the idea, I mean, I'm not accusing you of this, but I have, you know, friends of mine that if all of a sudden we do term limits for 10 years, we can all go back to sleep and miraculously at the end of 10 years all be fixed. No, it won't.
That's 5% of the problem. 10% of the problem.
I think it's a big component of the problem, though. No, we could not go to sleep, but you can't avoid the fact that power corrupts, and when you put people on a treadmill in pursuit of that power, you know what the outcome's going to be.
But Jeff, it didn't corrupt Adlai Stevenson. It didn't corrupt Everett Dirksen. His kid didn't make $1 billion. It didn't corrupt Paul Simon. It didn't corrupt Daniel Inouye of Hawaii. These were real people. They didn't allow themselves to be corrupted. You can be corrupted in 2 years. It doesn't take 10. I mean, the issue is not, what I'm saying is, would I like to see Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and the McConnell bump up against their 40-year term limit? Yeah, but it's too easy. It's not a solution, I don't think. It's a Band-Aid over a broken leg, I think.
Yep. Okay. Shall agree to disagree.
No, I'm not saying that, you know. I guess I don't know where to go with this, because every time you pick a year, you know, I don't want the people and the representatives being 4 years when it takes you 5 years to do anything. I mean, it takes the communication bill and the agriculture bill take 5 years to put together. So you can't be booting people out after two.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we should go with the representatives being 3 years and having a 4 year term or something, four terms. But those guys, I mean, 2 years, what does that accomplish for you? Nothing.
That's way too short. Yeah. But I don't think anyone thinks that's where the problem is. And believe me, then, term limits is one of those things that will never get elected, you know, ever, because the people that have to vote it in don't want to see it voted in.
But why?
There's nobody against it more than, against term limits more than politicians, right?
Some. I think the people who are in representatives that are there on their second term and still can't get anywhere with good ideas because Pelosi or somebody else is in their way. I mean, I'll ask you this. Who picked Denny Hastert? Who had all the goods on Denny Hastert, and who owned that guy for the whole time he was in there? Yeah. Right? I mean, somebody did. They knew he had these issues. How did that guy become the speaker? Does everybody have to have something on him? I mean, who's putting these people in these places?
In its purest form, public service is supposed to be that, you know. And I think haggling over the number isn't the issue, but it's haggling over the concept. Is this isn't supposed to be a lifetime role? It's just not.
Jeff, you're populist. You understand this. Populist has, if you were to, when George Bush II got elected, it was the first $100 million campaign for president, right? And Dr. J and I were on the score back then, and Jan was saying, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "Jan, the people, the listeners, you gotta wake up. There's 50 companies in this country that'd be happy to give George the entire $100 million. The amount of money these guys throw around in Washington. I mean, why do you think that people are spending $50 or $60 million on this Senate race in Georgia? One of these contracts to the right firm is worth 10 times that. I don't think people have a clue as to how much money is piling out of this place. I mean, look at this bill. One of our listeners sent in, if you take away the special interests in this, whatever this bill is that Trump just signed, what's the name of the damn thing? The COVID something bill? Repair bill? If you take away the special interests and kept the same amount of money, you could send everybody in the country that makes less than $75,000 an $18,000 check.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. The pilot, we're giving $15 billion to the airlines to be able to pay pilots. Okay, now I don't have a problem with that necessarily, Jeff. But how much? I mean, are we talking about, are we going to pay a pilot who's not flying $150,000? Are we going to pay him $50,000? Are we going to pay him $35,000 like somebody else who's on, if you got 600 more a week, what's 800 a week? That's $40,000, right? Yeah. So we were giving those people, the unemployed people from restaurants and stuff, $40,000. Now a laid off pilot's going to get $150,000 with you and I paying for it? That's a little rich. I mean, right? I mean, what? I don't think people have any clue, because I don't, and it pisses me off. What is in here? What are we paying people? How much did their lobbyists stick in somebody's ass pocket to get that number? Right? The airlines couldn't have made it with $12 billion. They got to have 15. S&P futures up 13 now. NASDAQ is up 54. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tamales, Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures, as soon as my machine, here we go, up 13.50. NASDAQ futures up 54. They were up 16, but still real strong after yesterday's real strong day. Dow up 131. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 28.2%, but these guys were up like 2% yesterday. FTSE up 133. They weren't up as much yesterday. They're making up for that today. That's 2%. CAC around up 26.5%. In Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 714. That's 2.5%. There's no reason why they should keep going to the moon too. Levels not seen since the early 1990s. That worked out well. Shanghai down 18.5%. Hang Seng, again, the other way. 254 to the upside. That's a full 1%. Bonds, a 10-year 0.94. It's unchanged. The Bund, minus 0.57. Unchanged. Japan, positive 0.02. Unchanged. So these bonds, even though our stuff has been leaking up a little bit, the Bund and the Japan rates have not moved at all with these market moves, and I don't know what it is, but it's suspicious. I don't know if it's scary. I don't know if it means the market's going higher, but it's interesting. Let's put it that way. Oil up 59 cents, 48.21. Brent up 58 cents, 51.44. Natural gas up 3 cents, 233. Gold, we got up $4, 18.84. Silver down 14 cents. Silver had a big move yesterday, 26.39. Copper, down a penny, 356. Maybe we got for us, Traffic Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're pretty quiet on the area expressways, Chief. That earlier crash on the Ryan outbound at 47th Street is all clear, so no issues down there. Bishop Ford and I-57 are quiet and have been all morning. Same for the Stevenson and Eisenhower. Edens and Kennedy looking good, too. Only crash in the area is up in the northern suburbs. The Tri-State on the southbound side at Bradley Road has a crash that's blocking the left lane. But that's our only area of concern this morning. That could change by this afternoon, though. Weather today, we have a winter weather advisory in effect that will begin at 3 p.m. this afternoon and will last overnight until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So it will affect certainly the commute home and then potentially the commute in the morning as well, where we're expecting a rain and snow mix and accumulation between 1 and 5 inches, depending upon where you are in the area. So we'll keep track of that, but that's going to start later on this afternoon and especially heavy in the early evening hours. We'll reach a high of 34 today. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 22 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, are partly cloudy skies with a high of 59. Right now it's mostly clear and 42. In sports, a big Chicago sports news of the day is that the Cubs are close to finalizing a deal to send starting pitcher Yu Darvish and backup catcher Victor Caratini to the San Diego Padres for starting pitcher Zach Davies and 4 minor league prospects. The Bulls were off last night in NBA basketball. They're 0-3 early in the season. They'll look to get their first win of the season tonight.
But they got their new defense, the Olay defense.
Well, they haven't played defense in many years. Tonight they'll take on the winless Washington Wizards in D.C., and that's a 6 p.m. Chicago time tip-off. So somebody will come out of that game a winner. College hoops, Loyola blew out Illinois State last night, 86-55. And in Monday Night Football, it was the Buffalo Bills blowing out New England, 38-9. Chief.
We're talking about Jeff and it. This is how stuff can denigrate, and that you and I are on exactly the same page, that some stuff has to be fixed. We're just trying to figure out what we fix first.
I think the perhaps one of the ironies is that you're in defensive term limits. You know, while we migrated over to the CARES Act, you know, Part Two funding, your biggest complaint is about the influence that lobbyists had on that bill and the special interests and special payouts, which of course is one of the number one arguments that should be made in favor of term limits, is that it materially and discernibly and immediately decreases the influence of lobbyists and special interests in Washington. You know, they spend years and dollars cultivating and corrupting our elected officials, putting them basically in their corner, and that one of the most persuasive arguments against term limits is just that, is that by introducing a new breed of politicians are not owned by anybody out of the gate, and you know, you reduce that influence. And that's one of those few things that you can point to, and I forget the states where that was kind of illustrated, but it's not really conjecture. It's just actually true that the influence of lobbyists is lesser on freshmen, obviously, than it is on more established candidates. The only reason it isn't is because they realize the importance of their dollars the day they're elected. Once they're in office for 6 months and realize the whole thing is a treadmill to stay in office and that they have to take their funds, that's what makes them so susceptible. But if they knew that they were on their way out and the rules of the game were differently, lobbyists would have much, much different influence in Washington.
I'm going to walk down a... it's not just ladies these days. I'm going to walk into a minefield here. How do you stop people's husbands or wives from benefiting when they're in there? How do you pass that law?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I mean, I'm looking here, one of the blasts from the past, this is one from, it was our time, unfortunately. I'm reading here the biography of Wendy Graham and Phil Graham.
Okay, sure.
And when you talk about consequences, Couldn't we at least have sent her off to a convent to get paddled or something? I mean, nothing happened to this lady. She was head of everything in Washington and gets on the board of Enron while her old man is he ran something through the Commodities Act where those places were unregulated. That was his bill. Was Phil Gramm's bill. How many people lost how much money in Enron? She made what? How many million dollars there? And she sold her stock on the top, claiming that it was she sold it because she thought it was a conflict between being on the board and being a shareholder. So she sold it at the top. You read stuff like this. Nothing happened to her or her husband. Nothing except kept the money. I mean,
Didn't she end up running for office in Pennsylvania or something?
I don't believe so. I think she ended up being on the Texas board of something something. After the Enron scandal, blah blah blah. Well, they were the directors got sued. She ended up being the chairman of the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Whatever the hell that is. She's a director of the Independent Women's Forum. Blah blah blah. She's been on the board of Enron, Iowa Beef Processor, Invesco Funds, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, go figure, and State Farm Insurance. These people are amoral, for God's sake.
Sure. And, of course, Graham...
Enron
was his biggest contributor, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got a story for you. He was paid by the... When I say paid, he didn't pay these guys very much. I remember somebody came to town. We had him over for breakfast at the sea, but I think he could give him, I think it's like $1,000 or something back in those days. So, I mean, it wasn't a whole hell of a lot, but it actually worked, I think, really well, Jeff, because, people came to see their constituents and find out what people did in various businesses. So I met a lot of these guys. I was really impressed with Tom Foley. I thought he was pretty interesting, but Phil Gramm comes to one of these ones in Washington, and our buddy Dr. J, he was on the board of the. He wanders in. He's got this incredible yellow tie that he just bought at this from one of the street guys the day before. Chad was always whenever we go to New York, he couldn't wait to buy three ties for $10 out on Canal Street. Right? We'd always got. So he's got this incredible. I mean, this thing had batteries in it. It was so bright. So Phil Gramm walks. Hey, son, that's quite a tie, boy. If I didn't have my coffee this morning, that'd be my eye. And your tie'd be opening my eyes. I'm sitting there going, this is our esteemed senator worried about Dr. J's tie, right? But, what's with these people? Nancy Pelosi, her husband, how much money has he made since she's been there? But I don't know how you tell women of the world they can't work if their husband...
Look no further than the Clinton Foundation.
It's endemic. I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of these people's husband or wife act as a lobbyist? I mean, but how do you pass a law that says, if I'm a representative, my wife can't work or something.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you do that? I mean, can you imagine the women's groups being all over you?
The irony of that is it's something that Blagojevich actually passed. No other Illinois governor ever did that. And he essentially, by executive action, instituted in Illinois something that not him or anybody in his family, and I forgot how they defined even extended family, could profit while he was in office from in any manner. It's something that he actually instituted, which was really interesting. No Illinois governor would ever have conceived of doing that before. And it's one of the reasons that, kind of speaks to this altruistic thing of Blagojevich, that he didn't, and of course he never got paid for that Senate seat, and his reference of it being, this is gold, baby. I'm not giving this thing away. This is gold. Referring to Obama's Senate seat was, in terms of political trade, never cash. That he'll admit that he wanted something in terms of political trade as favor for that, but it wasn't about selling the seat as he was accused of. I'll tell you something funny, and we've had this conversation because, we had him on our podcast, and I met him and had lunch with him, and the guy who basically got him out not too long ago, that was probably about 2 months ago, we had lunch in the city during COVID at RPM, and Blagojevich was a charming guy. I had met him years and years before, just coincidentally in a brief meeting, and then was able to have a what essentially became a 4-hour lunch with him just a couple months ago. And in a story he told as he got a little bit more comfortable was on the way coming to the restaurant to meet for lunch, the person who brought him essentially acted as his driver, had picked him up and was bringing him, and he's looking at the streets, and he named a couple of streets that came to mind, and he said, just so great to be back in the city I love, and looking around the city how it's changed and different. And then his mind wandered and he got to the point where he was speaking to how some city names had been renamed, and some of them had been named as tributes or to politicians. And he said, just think about that. Think about politicians getting streets named after them in Chicago. And what am I known for? I'm known for this thing is fucking gold and I'm not giving it away. So that's what I'm known for. And so he's very much aware of his legacy and how the public perceives him. You wouldn't know the difference. He was treated as a true revered celebrity at the restaurant that he had never been to before, but as soon as it became apparent who it was, everyone wanted to speak to him and tell him how much they admired his and had respect for him. I wouldn't be surprised if, and then you could see him just really enjoying every minute of that. His politics is really in his blood. He has more retail political skills than anybody I've ever seen, close up or on television. I've never seen a more charismatic politician that really, really relates to people, that looks them in the eye and spends time with them. And
you know who I'm going to name that is without ever meeting him, that's probably, I'm going to say it at that level or maybe even more so if you're in close-to-close contact? Carol Moseley Braun.
Yeah.
Very special.
Yeah. She sure had a sparkle, didn't she?
Well, she looked you right in the eye, attractive lady, and whatever. She cared about what you cared about, not her. While the 2 minutes you were talking to her, you got that feeling you were the only person in the room.
I shook her hand at a fundraiser once, I recall, and she had a true sparkle in her eye. Yeah.
I mean, that's a real. But you when you see this play out, it's not the politician necessarily, Jeff. It's the way we are. I mean, I was at a opening of some, I won't use the name, but some group down here, big brokerage firm. They got new space and blah blah blah. So they, and to say that they're very politically connected is an understatement. Minority firm. So I show up and they've got some people there, and the governor's there, Quinn. Well, nobody talks to him. I end up talking to the guy for a half hour. I mean, and I'm an absolute nobody, right? And because he literally had nobody, because he wasn't one of these guys that whenever you talk to him, there was something in it for you. I mean, if there was a line to be talked to of Madigan versus him, Madigan's line would be down the block and Quinn would be sitting there by himself. He'd be like a Santa Claus without the beard. I wonder who's this guy. But it's all about, I mean, people that are in this power, they have incredible city, state, federal largesse to dispense. They can essentially pass around other people's money. I mean, it's all economic. And if you're in that group, I mean, I was mentioning it. He was basically ragging big time about the 5,400 pages in this bill. And what is all this crap? And I said, well,
sure.
I will guarantee you that every single line means something to somebody. Yeah. And that it's been fought in there by a lobbyist, by somebody. That there's got to be, for God's sake, there's got to be some strip joint in North Dakota or something that got an extra $1,000 because they were forced to close. I mean, there's somebody behind every one of those lines. And I don't think our population necessarily understands that it's all about getting the bid for yourself. It's getting yourself, it's forget about being fair. I mean, you got to figure out, I mean, I learned this when I was trying to get a job on the as a laborer on the expressway years and years ago. And if you weren't in the, and I befriended this African-American guy, and he goes, well, I'm not going to get this job either. I'm thinking, I said, well, you know what? If I knew you were going to get it, because you got a family, I don't, I'm just going to college, I go find something else. I said, I'd be happy to leave right now. He goes, I'm not going to get it because I'm not part of the coalition. The coalition's going to kick back, $1.50 an hour to whoever guy is that gets on this job. With some
some hack politician, some cross between an alderman and a preacher on the south side. You know, I'm not afraid to say that. Somebody was going to get, like, the job was like $9 an hour back in those days, or $8, which is a lot of money. And and then you had a kickback, was like $1 or $1.25 to whoever the person was. And they ended up having a meeting on a night when they didn't tell anybody else when the location was, and hired all these guys. Now, half of them, I'm sure most of them needed the job more than I did, so I never was upset for the individuals. But there's nothing that goes down that somebody's got their finger in, Jeff. So, yeah, and people would be stunned if there was. I mean, we're at the point in Chicago, you'd be stunned if there wasn't. Wait a minute, I actually get to apply for this? I mean, you know, right?
But, well, if you're done making the case for term limits, let's talk about Chicago and Illinois for a moment. Did you see the latest numbers about, was it last year in 2019, 80,000 residents moved out of Illinois? 80,000, right? So that puts our cumulative.
Come on, Jeff. It was 79.6.
Over 250,000. Number one in the country. The state that has lost more residents.
Jeff, be careful. It wasn't 80,000. It was 79.6. Don't make it worse than it's bad enough. Yeah. But the percentage change. Actually, more people left New York, but a higher percentage left Illinois.
Yes, yeah. In fact, more people and a higher percent. New York. So number two, we're still the second city. But forget about New York because it's not really the comp. You got to look at the neighboring states. So, in this 10-year period, only six states lost population.
Yeah.
Of the 50, right? And of course, there were big winners like Texas that had 370,000
over 10 years.
Was there over the last 10 years?
No, Texas,
Arizona. You know, what do they have in common?
No, wait, whoa.
You know, finally, tax jurisdictions.
Over 10 years, Texas was like 4 million.
Then it was last year that it was 370,000.
Yeah, because it's been
last year was 370,000. 80,000 moved down to Illinois. 370,000 moved into Texas.
Did you read the part about the people that moved out of Illinois in the last 10 years? If they would have stayed, it's like $3.5 billion to the state. We almost wouldn't have
in tax revenue. Yeah. Or no, in income.
But it ended up being
the income number.
But it was it would have made the budget positive this year, I think. So it was a billion. It was money. It was real money.
Yeah. They're amazing numbers. But all the bordering states, with the exception of Michigan, which lost in the last 6 years, all the bordering states have increased their population. Even Michigan. Michigan did lose population this year because of its own problems. But Illinois is losing to bordering states. It's not like they're all going down to Texas. I mean, that's how bad things are.
Jeff, how do you look when you look at these tax numbers? And again, the way they're doing it in Illinois, you have no argument with me and how we're screwing things up here. But I was so shocked. I actually read this thing. What is the highest taxing states in the union? And when they included everything, you know,
Illinois was six, right?
You know, it was number one.
Was number
Wyoming,
one?
Was like Wyoming. If you added. If you look at the property taxes and the income taxes, they're real low. But if you happen to croak up there, your estate taxes are huge.
Gotcha.
So the people who move up there were like all their dough, you better get out of there before you croak.
Just don't die there.
Yeah, just don't die there. So, I mean, I'm thinking Wisconsin is not any better than here. Property taxes are lower, income taxes are higher, right? Maybe a little better.
But we probably don't have the sales taxes being so high.
Maybe. I mean, I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's the tipper. The state tax is going to be lower, and the sales tax is going to be lower.
I thought the income tax was actually like 7% or something. I don't know. I'm not positive on that, but I'm saying I don't see how Texas is but so many states get a huge largesse of government money, which we don't. You know, I'm not making excuses from Illinois, but the last thing I want to hear is somebody from New Mexico tell me how crappy Illinois is, because out of 100,000 people, like 30 of them work for the federal government there and like 5 here. It's a massive amount of federal money goes into the state and a percentage versus here. We get nothing. So ever since they closed the Great Lakes, they closed the
the air station. They closed Rantoul.
Naval base.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying we don't. What do we get? 45 cents back every dollar we send the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Where New Mexico gets $2 back. I mean, it's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there's as usual. There's always, but no, our issue. Well, I'm going to ask you, Jeff. I mean, to me, there's one gorilla in the room in this state, and it's the pension stuff. How do you fix
sure.
it? It's got to get fixed. How do you do it?
Well, it has to be done by amendment, and you know that's what Browner learned, right? And you have to also revise your numbers going forward. I think you just have to change your pension plan going forward, but it has to be done by amendment, and those and that will never be called to a vote with under current leadership. So I mean, it's changes here.
But it's not going to pass. It's not going to pass statewide.
Nothing changes. Yeah, the pension plan's brute. You know, and you have what now? It's $1.5 trillion in unfunded liabilities
right.
and overall states pension plans. And they've even brought the numbers down. They're bringing down the discount rate to 2.7%. You know, just because of where interest rates are, and it doesn't even. You know, it was, I think, in the 4.6 or something like that that they're using for benchmarking pension plans, and now it's all the way down to 2.7%. They're still going to be underfunded.
Well, the more you lower it, the more underfunded you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right. I mean, they were 6.5 for a while.
Mm.
But there's one way to do it. We'll talk about it next week. There's one other way to do it if you want to be. I would not want to be this guy, and you wouldn't want to be my henchman either. There's only one way to do it, is to selectively bankrupt certain areas and put people on the federal plan and scare the living bejesus out of them to where they will the unions themselves will be willing to cut back.
Yep.
But that would be a horrible thing to do to people. I wouldn't want to do it, but it's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
I'll explain that more next week. I mean, but because you have to start somewhere with only a few employees, and instead of making $60,000 a year, you start making 12, and say, and you go to the next union and you say, "You guys want that, or you want to we want to negotiate?" It's the only way to do it, because you're never going to get a constitutional convention. You're never going to get an amendment.
Right.
Anyway, Jeff, we'll wish you. We'll get your picks on the new year next week. But happy new year, buddy. SP Futures up 15. NASDAQ Futures up 57. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.